If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, if you don't have a Bible, you can read it up on the screen. Father, in the name of Jesus, how grateful we are to be in your presence. We are grateful, O Lord, that we can worship and give thanks unto you, to celebrate that you are Jesus, you are a chain breaker. There is no name greater than your name. So as we approach the Word of God, we give preeminence to it in our lives. We ask, O Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would find good ground in our hearts, that your seed would be planted, and that in the name of Jesus Christ, things would change from the inside out to your glory. We give you thanks. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 3. I'm going to read about 16 verses here, so stay with me. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. This morning I want to share a message that I've entitled, I've Got Issues. I've got issues. I wanted to start out by saying half of you in here are half crazy. I just wanted to let everybody know that. Half of you in here are half nuts, all right? I've seen you on social media. You're half crazy. It's hard to keep up with the craziness, right? Some of us have inherited the craziness. Come on now. Some of us worked for it. And some of us have picked it up along the way because of the craziness of other people around us and the craziness of the world that we live in. Sometimes you got to be crazy just to survive. Am I right? Although some have been crazy and are now dead. So there's that. Issues are just another word for problems. I've got problems. But problems and issues are both generalized, or they are vague terms. But to me, when I think about problems, when I think of the word problems, I think of things that normally initiate from the outside, and then they affect us on the inside. But when I think about issues, issues seem to have its roots from the inside, and they work their way out. But however you want to define a problem or however you want to define an issue, the fact is, I've got issues, and so do you. Because it seems like in the world that we live in, drama is the oxygen that some people breathe. We go from one dramatic event to another, one dramatic issue to another. We go from one problem to another, and it seems as though we magnify it a whole lot bigger than what it actually is. There are some people that if they're not in the middle of drama, then they feel like they need to go find drama. Or let me create drama, right? We used to go, when I was in middle school, we were talking about this at the beach. When I was in junior high and high school, we would actually go looking for fights. How many of you ran to a fight when you were in school? Somebody yelled, fight! And y'all run down the hallway. Of course, now in the world that we live in, people are videoing. You know, you can watch videos online of people that have been in fights, right? During those times, you just circled around and you just cheered whoever you wanted to win, right? You just had to remember how it went because you didn't have a video you could watch later. We like drama. We all may not want to admit it. We say, I hate drama, but we're in the middle of it all the time. And we create it. We create it by our thoughts. We create it by our words. We create it by our actions. We go from drama to drama, relationship to relationship, issue to issue. And we all have them. Some of us have anger issues. Some of us have jealousy issues. Some of us have self-confidence issues. Some of us have unforgiveness issues. Some may have addiction issues. Some of us have issues that are caused by past pain or abuse or rejection or failures. Now, most counselors and psychologists don't like to use the word crazy, although that sometimes is the only way we can define it. But when we use the word crazy, it can downplay or maybe even stigmatize a real issue that someone is facing. And I don't want to make light of anything that we're going through. I don't want to make light of your problem. I don't want to make light of your past. I don't want to act as though that what you have gone through or what you are going through is not real. Because pain is real. Amen. Heartache is real. Rejection, fear, abuse, sickness, a host of psychological disorders, they're real. And what issues tell us is that the world stinks sometimes. Am I right? What issues tell us is that there is an enemy and he's real. That the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. In the world, you will have tribulation. What issues tell us is that sometimes the world stinks and that the enemy is real. But it also tells us that the world is a mess. How many of you can testify to that? The world is a mess. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, I think we can all agree to the fact that the world is messed up. But issues also tell us that you are not alone. Sometimes we feel like we're sitting in a congregation or we're sitting in a group of people and we feel like we are the only ones going through what we're going through. That we're the only ones that have this problem or that have this issue. And I can almost guarantee you that there's somebody else in this congregation that's either going through what you're going through or they've already gone through it or they're about to go through it. Amen. So what issues tell us is the world stinks, there's an enemy that is real, the world is completely messed up, and that you're not alone. And I want to encourage you this morning. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you've faced. I don't know what you're battling. I don't know what you're going to have to battle. But I want you to know this morning, you're not alone. Not only are you not alone because we've all been through it, you're not alone because Jesus went to the cross and felt your pain, felt your rejection, felt your abuse, felt your heartache. We don't serve a Savior that is unconcerned or detached from who we are and from what we are going through. God surely could have sat back on His throne and said, Adam and Eve, it's your fault that you ended up in this mess. It's your fault that you have messed up your life. But instead, He got off His throne, became a human, carried our pain, carried our hurt, took it to the cross, and rose again to rub it in the devil's face. So I've got issues. So do you. We've all got issues. You know, there are a lot of songs that we sing about problems and about issues. And many times, they are the ones that stick with us the most because they speak to our condition. We can relate to songs that talk about pain or talk about heartbreak or that talk about breakups. I know all of you have been in that situation in your life where you have been going through something and you find a song that you connect with. How many of you have ever done that before? There are some of you in here that like to just cry every once in a while, so you'll pick a song to make you do that. I just feel like crying. I'm going to play a song that makes me cry. Right? Come on, you do it. I just feel like crying. Or you pick a movie. I'm going to watch this movie because it makes me cry. We watched Toys 3 at the beach and look over and Lauren Kinder was just bawling, tears just rolling down her face. Kelly Clarkson says, I know that I've got issues, but you are pretty messed up too. Either way, I found out I'm nothing without you. Julie Michaels sings the song, says, yeah, I've got issues, and one of them is how bad I need you. Even, thanks, Don. Even hymns. Even hymns remind us that there's peace like a river that will attend our way, but there's also sorrows like sea billows that will roll. I don't know if you've ever noticed it. Sometimes you don't always pay attention because you just listen to the radio and sometimes music's just in the background. You ever notice that? Music's just in the background, just playing and you're just driving along. And sometimes you don't always notice it. But a lot of Christian songs that you listen to now revolve around the issue of being broken. If you take broken things, as Matthew West says, and Natalie Grant sings a song about brokenness, and we sing these songs and we hear these songs because they are strong, simply because they're true. They're true. They're true in the fact that whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. That no matter where you are in your journey with Christ, no matter where you are in your relationship with God, when you wake up every morning, you are being faced with a hostile world. You are being faced with a hostile enemy. That every day that you wake up, it's not going to pop up posies. Nobody promised you a rose garden. Who sang that? Was that Dolly Parton? Who? Lynn Anderson. Gosh, I would have had no idea. I'm better with songs. I can't ever tell. I can't even remember who sang it, right? I can sing a song. I know that song. I have no idea who it was. Especially, well, yeah, it is before my time. But like during the 80s, all the songs sound the same anyway. And they all look the same, right? I don't know who they are. We all have issues, but some of us are deeper than others. But their problems just the same. Romans tells us here, as we're talking about the fact that I've got issues, and we look at Romans chapter 3, Romans tells us that the first issue that we must deal with is the issue of sin. We can look around us at our problems and our situations and what we're through, our heartache, our pain, our suffering, whatever it is that we may be facing, whatever battle that we might find ourselves in, the first issue that we all must deal with is the issue of sin. The Bible tells us that no one escapes its corruption. No one can get away from its destructive influence. The world is a mess. It's broken, and it's a result of sin. Sin affects everything about us. It affects not only our soul and our spirit, it affects our mind, it affects our emotions, it affects our physical bodies. Sin affects our relationships, how we relate to one another. Sin is a destructive, draining, toxic, poisonous power that destroys everything in its wake. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is still death. Whether you are saved or unsaved, the wages of sin is death. It's not something that we can play with. It's not something that we can mess around with. It's not a pet that we can take care of and coddle. It's not something that we can just hide and hope that it goes away. The first issue that we must deal with is sin. The Bible tells us that our hearts are darkened by sin. It says that our spirits are dead because of sin. That even our thought processes are corrupted by sin. But the Bible tells us that sin has a remedy. Sin has a remedy. That Jesus Christ went to the cross and carried and paid the price for our sin. And now the remedy for sin in our life is repentance. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The remedy for sin is not to hide it or justify it or make excuses for it. The remedy for sin is not to try to live a better life or to clean ourselves up or to make ourselves look better. The remedy for sin is to repent, to turn in faith towards God and declare war on sin. And I know many times, as I said before, when once we become Christians, man, we will rail against sin, against those sinners and unjust people, those unsaved heathen, right? And then we get saved. And nobody's perfect, I understand that. But we get saved, and all of a sudden our sin becomes issues. I have a problem, a struggle, an issue. I have something I've got to deal with. Well, we've all got this. Who are you to judge? Right? I know I've talked about it before, but doesn't that just drive you nuts? There's people that wouldn't know Jesus if he walked down the middle of the aisle with a raspberry beret on his head. and they can quote, "Judge not, lest you be judged." And I can almost guarantee you that 99% of them don't know where it is. Where is that in the Bible? Somewhere in First Thessalonians, I think. Judge not, lest you be judged. Nobody understands the context of the verse. So we all act like that we can hold on to our sins because nobody can judge us. That I can live any way I want because you can't judge me. And in some ways, obviously that's true. Jesus obviously in that passage was talking about hypocritical judgment. For a matter of fact, he said, if you'll deal with the beam in your own eye, then you'll be able to see clearly to help your brother get the speck out of his eye. It's not that we're not supposed to help each other or point out the fact. The Bible even tells me that if I see a righteous man falling away into sin and I don't warn them, their blood is on my hands. Of course we judge. We all do. If you don't judge, then you're going to miss the character of people. All parents judge. Am I right? You can't hang out with them, judger. I don't want you hanging out with so-and-so. You're a judger. But you're a good parent, aren't you? Yes, I'm not supposed to judge you, and that's fine. I won't. But the Bible already has. And that's what Romans says. The law came to shut our mouths and to declare that everyone stands guilty before God. Everyone. No matter what justification or excuse we come up with, the law has declared we're all guilty. And the only remedy is repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And so this is where we must begin with the issue of sin. Pastor Parsley used to always say, sin is the one thing we all have in common, but nobody wants to talk about. Sin's remedy through repentance not only gives us life, but it begins the process of healing our fractured lives. That as we repent and commit our hearts to Christ, and if you're in this room today and you have never repented, you've never turned from your sin, maybe you prayed a prayer, or maybe you've been baptized so many times you look like a prune, but you've never really repented. You've never turned from sin. You've never placed your faith in Christ. Jesus said you must be born again. He didn't say be better. He didn't say quit doing these things and you'll be saved, or start doing these things and you'll be saved. He said repent and believe the gospel. Be born again. Let your life be radically transformed by the grace of God. And not only does this give us life, but it begins to heal all the broken areas of our life. Because when you first get saved, you're still not all put together, are you? Still not all put together. Some of y'all probably heard the story about the biker who used to be a member of the Hell's Angels who gave his life to Christ. He'd lived his whole life in a gang. Sold drugs, fought all the time, and got radically changed by the power of God. And he came up for prayer for healing. And as the minister was praying to him, he said he had been diagnosed with cancer. He told the man, he said, "You can curse that cancer." So the guy said, "All right." So he stepped back and just started cussing at his cancer. "You bleep bleeping cancer, I bleep bleeping." He did what he was told to do. I'm just obeying God. When we first get saved, we're still, many times, we've still got all these pieces that Jesus is starting to put back together, because God's dealing with our deepest issues takes place during sanctification. That when we are saved and God begins to sanctify us, or to set us apart or prepare us for His purpose, He works in His life and His plan and His purpose at the same time, pulling out all the junk and the filth and the craziness that has been there over the years. Because we've all been scarred and wounded and hurt and left behind. We've all been rejected and abused and talked about and mocked and made fun of. Sin has dragged us through the mud. And now Jesus not only starts working in His healing and His power, but He starts pulling out all the filth and all the junk out of our lives. That's why many times sanctification hurts. Sanctification is a process that many times is not comfortable because God starts pointing things out that we don't want to deal with. God starts pointing things out in our lives that we don't want to see. He starts bringing stuff to the surface that we thought we had hidden for many, many years. Am I right? Because the brighter the light becomes, the more transparent our heart becomes. As we approach the throne and the brightness of His light shines in our heart, the things that we thought were hidden are now brought to the light. And now we have to deal with them. And this is the process of sanctification. He works His holiness in us. He works His purpose in us. And then He forms us. As Dad said earlier, He forms us into the image of Jesus Christ. We must begin here. We must begin here for our issues to be dealt with. We must start with this issue of sin. And Christians, can I please warn you? Yes, the grace of God is greater than our sin. But if we play around with sin, if we cover up sin, if we hide sin, it will destroy everything about us. It will break us. It will tear us apart. Because we've got issues. And as Christians, we're not immune because we're still a part of this broken world. We're still a part of this messed up world. We're all just a bunch of messed up people trying to make it to heaven. Amen. And it's presumptuous of us to come to Jesus just because He can solve all of our issues. For a matter of fact, sometimes our issues is what He uses to shape us. Many times I've seen people who will come to Christ and they will fall away because they base their relationship with God only on God's problem-solving skills. They base their relationship on Christ based upon the fact that He does what they need Him to do for them. Do you know anyone? I've seen people that have come to the altar that have prayed a prayer of salvation because they're going through something. Their heart is broken. They're scared. They're fearful. Maybe they're addicted. Maybe they've been through a divorce. Maybe their life is falling apart. And so they come to the altar and they give their lives to Christ. And then something happens. Either Jesus moves and maybe something changes in their life. They're happy. They're joyful. But later on, problems still arise. Issues still show up. And they fall away. Why? Because the relationship was based upon the fact that they believed God would do whatever they want Him to do. I just want everybody to know, you don't come to Christ for His problem-solving skills. You come to Christ for His sin-eradicating skills. We come to Christ because we need a Savior. We are lost. We are broken. And we need to come because of who He is. Because salvation, I need everybody to know, is not a ticket to escape issues. Those of us who are saved and have been saved for a while, we understand that. We understand that we are not immune to a world that's falling apart. We are not immune to the fact that things come and go. People come and go. Relationships come and go. Problems come and go. Tribulation is a part of our walk. Persecution is part of what we are going to face. Battles are part of what we're going to go through. But we need to attach ourselves to the reality that Jesus Christ has changed us on the inside. We're not who we used to be. He dealt with our sin and broke the curse of sin off of our lives. He has set us free and given us hope and peace and joy and given us purpose in the middle of our issues. In the middle of our issues. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, beginning verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power," and I want you to see that, "the excellency of the power may be of God." And this is one of the key points of all of Paul's writings. Everything that Paul writes about is for the glory of God. He says, everything I go through is for the glory of God. Your salvation is for the glory of God. Not for you to feel better, but for the glory of God. And every battle and fight that we go through is a testimony to the glory of God. And Paul says, "and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Paul is a realist. Paul was a man of faith. He spoke faith. He preached faith. He saw miracles that happened in his ministry. Paul said everywhere he went, the Holy Spirit demonstrated the power of God. He believed in healing, prayed for the sick, cast out devils. He saw the dead raised, but he was still a realist. As much as he believed in miracles, as much as he believed that God still healed, God still raised the dead, that the works of the Holy Spirit are still in operation, he still recognized, I'm persecuted. Sometimes I'm cast down. Sometimes I'm forsaken. Sometimes I'm even perplexed. I'm going through stuff, Paul was saying. Paul reminded us in this passage of Scripture, life brings issues. Issues that are real, sometimes scary, sometimes dangerous, and sometimes they don't make sense. But it's how we respond to these issues that shapes who we are. See, the one thing that we all have in common is that we've all got problems. The one thing that we all have in problem is that we've all got issues. And that includes the people that stand behind this pulpit and preach. I've got issues. Some of you are my issue. But I've got issues. We all have deep issues. Some of us have uglier skeletons than others. But we've all got closets. We've all got things in our lives that we're dealing with. Some of them, many of them brought on by ourselves. Many of them, it's a situation where we can't seem to grasp a hold of the grace of God. We can't seem to grasp hold of the promises of God. And because of that, those issues seem to make us. So we've all got problems. That's not the issue. The issue is how we respond to the issue. The question is, we have problems, but do we have faith? Because I'll be honest with you, social media tells me a lot of times whether you've got faith or not. Come on now. We get on Facebook, we get on Twitter, and we proclaim our issues. This is what I'm going through, and I'm going to complain and gripe and hurt from time to time. Now, if it's you, I'm sorry, you can do that. It's your Facebook, right? It's your Facebook. Do whatever you want. But we can tell whether we've got faith by what comes out of our mouth. Amen. We can tell whether we've got faith based upon what we talk about. There was a woman with an issue of blood. She came to Jesus and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. She had an issue, but she also had faith. And that faith caused her to push through the crowd and grab a hold of Jesus. And when she did, virtue flowed. There's four things I want to close with here. We have issues, but issues don't have to have us. Number one, we've all got problems, but they don't have to define us. They don't have to define who we are. And this is one of the most important things that it takes to live victoriously in the Christian life. You've got to know who you are. Amen. You've got to know whom the grace of God has made you. You've got to know what faith in Christ has done in your life. Because salvation is not just a saving from what you've done. It's a saving from whom you are. Yes. He's not just changed things around you. He's changed you from the inside out. If that's not happened, then you have not been saved. This is not a cleanup act. This is a total transformation. Yes. This is not a refurbishing. This is not even a remodeling. Yes. This is a tearing down and a completely rebuilding. You've even been moved to a totally different foundation. Your whole life has been radically changed by the power of God. And who you are is what will determine your victory or your defeat. If you walk around seeing yourself as a nobody, seeing yourself as a little worm that God doesn't love, seeing yourself as somebody that can't be forgiven, seeing yourself as someone that's guilty and full of shame, then you're always going to walk in defeat. But when you recognize that you are a child of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a saint, not a sinner, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then you can walk in the confidence of the victory of the cross. Come what may, problems will come and go, but God doesn't change, and who I am in Christ does not have to change. Issues are going to come. Issues are going to come into our lives. And the thing is many of us do. We don't even recognize this, but we define ourselves by what we've been through. And even when you read the stories in the Bible, there are a lot of people that don't have names, but we know them by their problem. What was the woman who had the issue of blood? What was her name? The woman with the issue of blood. Right? Hey, woman with the issue of blood, how you doing? How about the guy at the beautiful gate? What was his name? The guy at the beautiful gate. Hadn't walked his entire life. But that's how we know him. And many times, we don't know each other, but we know each other's problems. We know each other's issues because of the prayers that we've been asking for. We talk and we know. We may not even know somebody's name, but if you say, you know, the one who's gone through such and such, oh yeah, I know them. Because we define people by their problems, and lots of times we do the same thing in our own life. We define ourselves by our failure. We define ourselves by our pain. We define ourselves by what we've gone through, by what we have done, by what we have lost. We define ourselves. But because of faith and because of the grace of Jesus Christ, I do have issues. I've got problems. And many times we've got deep things that we are still dealing with, but that is not who you are. You don't have to stay in that rejection, that abuse. You don't have to stay in that feeling of nothingness. You are loved and valuable. Number two, I've got issues, but that doesn't mean I am a loser. I'm not a loser. I want everybody to know that. I want you to know that. I want you to know that there are going to be times that you have setbacks. There are going to be times that things don't always work out the way you thought they were going to work out. But the battle has been won. The enemy is defeated. And no matter what he does and how he huffs and puffs or how ugly the world may get, God is still alive. Jesus Christ has still died and rose again. And Jesus is still coming back. We still serve a conquering, risen Christ who has declared that you can walk in my victory. You can walk in my purpose. You can walk in my plan. I'm not a loser. And you're not either. And you need to quit looking at yourself as the one who's lost. It's okay to live like you're loved. It's okay to walk like you've been set free. Because why? It's true. It's okay to live like Jesus won. Because he did. We need to tell ourselves, we're not on the losing side, we're on the winning side. As our president has said many times, I'm a winner. We're going to do all kinds of winning. However you feel about our president, that's a Christian saying. I'm a winner, and I'm doing all kinds of winning. The Bible tells me that whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. If you are born of God, you are born to win. You are born to overcome. You are born to be blessed. Even when you have issues. Even when you got problems. You're not a loser. You're somebody in Jesus Christ. Number three, I've got issues, but I am not hopeless. I am not hopeless. See, that's what happens lots of times when we spend more time thinking about problems and issues than we do thinking about God. When we spend a lot of time thinking about what we're going through in our circumstance or what we've got to face or the week that is ahead of us or the thing at work that we've got to do or the issue with our marriage or the issue with our body or whatever it is that we're going through, when we spend more time thinking about the problem, it leads us to a valley of hopelessness. It leads us to a valley of despair. When we consistently think about our addiction, or we think about our failure, or we think about the sin that we committed in our past, it leads us to a place of hopelessness where we feel like we can't get out. I've been in this place for so long that I can't get out. I know that there are a lot of people in this world that have been in their issue, they've been in their problem for so long that they've forgotten what it even feels like to be free. They've forgotten what it feels like to be out of that issue. Am I right? Can you imagine the man at the gate, beautiful, whatever his name was? Can you imagine the fact the Bible says he was over 40 years of age and he had never walked? He had no idea what it felt like to use his legs. It was a foreign concept to him. You couldn't even describe to him how it felt because he had never felt it. He had never experienced it. All he ever knew was begging and someone dragging me everywhere I went until Peter and John and Faith went to church one day. I'm not talking about Faith Long. I'm talking about Faith. I mean, I'm glad Faith's here, but I'm talking about Faith. Because they went to church that day and faith showed up instead of doubt, instead of unbelief, instead of hopelessness. All of a sudden, this man, this miracle goes beyond what we can even really comprehend, because the power of God didn't just heal him. It gave him the power to do something he had never done in his life. It allowed him to experience something he had never experienced in his life. And that's what salvation does. That's what the healing of God does. It doesn't just work in us what he wants. It allows us to experience things we could never experience any other way. But surely that man, his entire life had been that way and said, there is no reason for me to believe that I'll ever get out of this mess. There's no reason for me to believe that my problem or my issue will ever get any better. But anytime Jesus shows up, hopelessness has to flee. Your circumstance, your issue can change in just a moment when we believe God. You are not in a hopeless situation. I don't know where you find yourself today. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what pain you're facing. I don't know what your issue is or how deep it goes. But you are not hopeless. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There is healing in Jesus Christ. And finally, number four, I've got issues, but I am not a victim. I am not a victim. Now, let me say this. I'm not saying that there aren't victims of crimes or abuses. I'm not saying that some of us have not been victimized in our lives. We have gone through things that have abused us and hurt us and wounded us and scarred us. We've been rejected by people that love us. We've been hurt by those we thought we could trust. We've seen abuse in the day and age that we live in. We understand that there's sexual abuse and verbal abuse. And surely these people are victims. I understand that. I'm not want to downplay what you've been through. Some of you have come through families that your situation looked more like hell than it did heaven. That your family situation and the way your parents treated you and the way your siblings treated you or whomever you were raised with or by, and you were abused and rejected and you've got scars in your life. You've been through hurt. You've been through scars. And surely we could label you a victim. But here's what the grace of God does. The grace of God can come and not only heal and cover and remove all those scars, but he changes your label. He changes your label. He changes who you are. We can continue to live our lives as a victim, or we can allow the grace of God to make us into who he has called us to be. Now, I do believe in the world that we live in, we have a victimization mentality. That everybody's a victim. Everybody's been offended by somebody. Everybody's been hurt by someone. So we all live as victims. We live our lives as though, well, somebody's against me. It's not my fault that I'm in this situation. They did this to me. They said this to me. I went through that. And because of that, I'm going through this situation. I'm in bondage because this happened. I'm addicted because this happened. I'm going to stay offended because they did this. And we live in this constant idea that the world owes us something. And I need everybody to know that the world owes you nothing. The Bible even tells me that I'm not to owe anybody anything except to love them. And because of that, I know that what we've gone through many times is real. What we are facing many times is hurtful. It's wounding. It goes to the very core of who we are. And then the enemy takes that and shapes us into a feeling of victimization. That we feel like we're always under. That we feel like that we're always behind. That we always feel like we can't get up where everybody else is. But that's not what the grace of God says. The grace of God says that no matter what you've been through, no matter what you have faced, your life can be changed. Your hurt can be healed. And your sin can be forgiven. Your past can be washed away. You can be a victor instead of a victim. You can be an overcomer instead of a victim. Listen, whatever it is that you've gone through, don't allow it to be a reason for why you don't become somebody. Don't let what you've gone through in your past shape your future. Don't let what happened to you make you see yourself as anything less than a child of God, valuable and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. What the Word of God says about us is that we are not victims, we are victors. That we are overcomers. That we are going to go through problems and we are going to have issues. But the grace of God is greater than our problems. It's greater than our issues. It's greater than our hurts. It's greater than our pain. And as I close out this morning, I just want all of us to recognize that the first thing that we have to do is we have to be able to admit that we have them. We have to admit that we have them. There are a lot of people, it's a scary thought to think, but there are a lot of people today that are probably in hell because they were too proud to admit they had issues. They were too proud to admit that their lives were messed up. They were too proud to admit that sin had damaged them. And this is where salvation begins. Salvation begins by us admitting that we've got issues. Paul told us in Romans chapter 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. And if you go through there and listen to the description of Paul and those who are, those the world that is lost and broken, there's nothing good in it. There's nothing good in it. And so the first thing we have to do is admit that things are not okay. And even as Christians, it's hard for us to admit that. We want to be people of faith. We want to be able to stand up and say, I've got faith and I'm not going through anything. And all we're doing is lying to ourselves. All we're doing is covering up something that needs to be brought to the light, that needs to be dealt with. And so we allow the pain and the hurt to continue. There's a song by Sanctus Real, and I want to end with this. And the song says, if weakness is a wound that no one wants to speak of, then cool is just how far we have to fall. I am not immune. I only want to be loved, but I feel safe behind the firewall. Can I lose my need to impress? If you want the truth, I need to confess. I'm not all right. I'm broken inside. And all I go through, it leads me to you. There's a time in our life where we all have to stop and say, I'm not all right. I'm not all right. Some of you have even tried to overcome issues on your own, and you just can't do it. And today you need to start with saying, I'm not all right. I'm broken inside. Some of you need to recognize that you in this building can stop your need to impress. You have nobody to impress. You have no one to impress. Matter of fact, The Bible tells me that my righteousness, my good deeds, my things that I do to impress you in the eyes of God are just filthy rags. So all I have to bring is dirty rags. That's all I've got to bring. That's all I can impress you with is a bunch of dirty rags. And I want you to know this morning that it's okay in this building to say, I'm not all right. I'm broken inside. But I don't want you to have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. Because though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear evil. Because his rod and his staff, they will comfort you. He is leading you to still waters. He is leading you to green pastures. He is leading you to a table that is prepared in the very presence of your enemy. You were meant to have goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life because of his grace. If you will, why don't you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are grateful for this opportunity to come before you just as we are. Just as we are, with all of our issues, with all of our sin, with all of our brokenness, our hurt, with all of our fear and rejection, we bring them to you because we know that not only can you heal them, but Lord, you can transform us into the victors, to the winners, to the overcomers that you have called us to become. I'm asking you this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to every heart. There may be some in here today that need to deal with the issue of sin. Whether you know the Lord or whether you've never made a commitment to Christ this morning, there are some of you in here that must deal with the issue of sin. Even if you fixed all of the other problems and issues around you, at the end of the day, you still must deal with the issue of sin. Because no matter what we fix externally, and even no matter what we fix internally in our minds, our hearts need fixed. Our hearts need fixed. This is the issue. Christian, if you're in this room today, you're tired of dragging it around. You're tired of dragging it around. You're tired of being defined by your problem. You're tired of feeling like you've got to put on a mask. You're tired of feeling like you need to impress. Just quit. Just stop this morning. We're not strong enough. That's why we need the grace of God. Our willpower is not great enough. That's why we need the grace of God. That's why the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to boast of. We need grace. We need healing. We need Jesus. So I'm asking you this morning as we sing this worship song, just to consider where you are with Christ, first of all. If you need to deal with the issue of sin, I'm asking you, would you hear the call of the Savior? Come. Come and live. Come and know life. Come and find purpose. Come. Come, let your sins be forgiven. Let your heart be changed. Christian, if you're in this room today, you feel like you've been abused, rejected, beat up. You feel like you've had more downs than ups, more valleys than mountaintops. Some of you wake up each day dreading what you've got to face. There is grace for what you have to face. So as we sing this worship song, I just want to open this altar. If you want to grab somebody and say, hey, pray with me. If you want to come and have me pray with you. If you just want to spend time at this altar, I want us this morning to declare today, Lord, I bring my issues. I come unto you because I am labored and heavy laden, because I know you'll give me rest. So as we sing this worship song, would you open your heart to the work of the Spirit of God today? Would you open your heart to the Word of God? Would you open your heart to his grace and love? So if you can and you will, why don't you stand to your feet? Let's spend a few moments in worship, in praising God, and allow him to heal us from the inside out.